take the responsibility and take these people in. And good luck to them, because they're a trouble-making bunch.
I'm good with that. Hey, let me switch gears on you. You got an early Christmas memory, one that, like, stands out from your childhood. I saw that picture you sent. That was pretty cool. And I can so relate to that picture, by the way.
This Christmas memory of that, basically that Christmas, I got a voyage to the bottom of the sea playset, I think, you know, which I still have it somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, I never got rid of any of my toys, man.
Well, they're probably worth some money now.
They're kind of a little worse for wear.
Well, listen, brother, we appreciate you, and thank you for calling. But you guys, you and yours, have an amazing Christmas, and we'll talk to you sometime next week, all right?
Thank you, Phil. You and Butters have a very Merry Christmas, and all my right side family have a very Merry Christmas as well.
All right. Thank you, brother. Take care. Yeah, that's just good. Hey, you want to call it in, text it in. We're talking about Christmas right now. So I will just tell you, I have early Christmas memories. I can tell you for a fact that I know I heard reindeer on the roof one time. I'm almost positive I had cousins staying at the house that time, and I was the only one that heard it, and I couldn't understand why they didn't. And you know, just it was just one of those things where I can remember laying in bed, knowing that I just heard it, and thinking, do I get up, or will I scare Santa off if I do that?
That was after some special brownies that you ate before bedtime, or
and we did not do eggnog shots either.
Okay,
as a kid.
Okay, all right.
I did get a handwritten note from Santa Claus one time.
Nice.
I saw the kid delivering the newspaper to our house, and he had baskets on his back wheels. And I thought those were the coolest looking thing I'd ever seen. I don't know why, but for some reason I became fixated. I had the Schwinn bike with the big gooseneck handlebars and the banana seat, and I wanted to have some baskets on the back. Well, Santa apparently couldn't find them. And so I got a handwritten note and a $20 bill, and it said that he is hopeful that I will be able to find them, and here's the money to go get them when I do.
Nice.
That his elves had run out of baskets when it came time, and I was not deflated by that. I thought that was actually pretty genuine of him to write me a note and tell me what was up, and drop me a 20.
Drop you a 20. Nice. Hey, if Santa wanted to drop me a 20 this year, I'll take it.
James from Arab says, my favorite Christmas memory. Oh, my gosh, it's long. He says, has to be the annual mock shooting of Rudolph at my grandparents in the rural Blount County every Christmas Eve. He said, the oldest and second oldest, me, of many cousins decided to get a red flashlight and a cap gun and make the younger cousins think we were shooting Rudolph. I was usually the one with the flashlight climbing the pear tree. Fast forward a few years in the early 90s, though, and I'm home on leave from the Navy. I get talked into doing it one more time. So I climbed into a taller black walnut tree in the pasture. After two pops, I'm dropping the flashlight as planned, but unbeknownst to me, my uncle has grabbed Grandpa's rifle and stepped out of the porch. Muzzle flash, kaboom, muzzle flash, kaboom. Not shooting at me, of course. He says, of course, I lost my balance. I fell out of the tree, and the dark hit every limb on the way down. I'm in a ditch with the wind knocked out of me. I can hear my uncle laughing. I got him. So we're all grown now with kids and grandkids of our own. Us cousins still talk and laugh about that every year at this time. I love this big old family. Merry Christmas. James from Arab.
And that's why we have sailors fill out, what are you going to go home and do on leave?
I'm going to sit up in a tree with a flashlight and pretend I'm shooting Rudolph.
What could go wrong? That's awesome.
What could go wrong? Chris from Madison just texted in and says, he's giving us a new number. So he had to text it in anew. And he said, by the way, my son Caleb is serving in Korea. He's a sergeant in the infantry. We are proud of his service, Chris, and we celebrate him and pray that you'll get a chance to be with him sometime soon. So there's that.
I spent one Christmas not too far from Korea. It was actually my first deployment in Iwakuni, Japan.
On board ship or
no,
or
I was feet dry in a shore-based squadron there attached to this. I was brand new to the fleet. And my first Christmas in the fleet, I was on duty. And fortunately, the only kid that got in trouble was one of our sailors. So yeah, it was a fun.
There's always the one.
Yep, yep. So I didn't know how good I got it. I hadn't been to Afghanistan or Iraq yet, but no, that was yeah, right there.
So they gave you, were you the newbie? Did they give you the newbie staff duty on Christmas Eve?
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
I checked the new in. Guy?
And, yeah. Before I even had training, they're like, yeah, you're going to be on duty this
Just
Christmas.
Just so you know. Yeah. It's Christmas Eve. We're all leaving. You're the new guy.
Yeah.
Man the phones. All right. We're taking a break. We're coming right back. More Christmas memories. Send them in. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. It's Christmas, y'all. I'm just saying, just enjoy it. I pray God Almighty would just bless your houses, the things that you do, the opportunity to be together, that the blessings of this season would be on you. And I'll tell you, too, there's a whole lot of questions that I have about Christmas. Like, for instance, we did a poll. I have the results. You may be curious to know. There were only 5 questions, but they are deep questions that need to be answered. Number one, here we are, a mere 2 days until Christmas Eve. In the Right Side poll, which is compiled from the results of our Instagram and Twitter feed polling, do you have your Christmas shopping completed? Yes or no question. Butters, which one do you think it would be?
No.
Christmas shopping, 58% said yes, 42% said no. So most people have actually got it done. Do you have yours done yet, bud? You don't have to answer that question if it would incriminate you.
I plead the fifth.
The next question was, have you finished wrapping said presents? What do you think? Yes or no?
Upon the advice of counsel, I plead the fifth.
I'm not asking about you in particular. Just in terms of who won, what do you think? Who people yes or people no finish their wrapping?
No. They're, no. Can't
70% say no. 30% say they've already wrapped up.
Restoring my faith in humanity.
There you go. All right. Now, here's a question that that begs some pondering. Do you eat turkey or ham for a Christmas meal? Which would it be, turkey or ham? What do you think won?
I can see both. Both.
Well, 33% said both. 56% overall, though, did say ham. And then only 11% eat just turkey. I mean, they just had it for Thanksgiving. So, you know, got to mix it up a little bit.
We were always a turkey family.
Turkey family?
Yeah.
On Christmas?
You can never have too many.
Get that tryptophan going, get you the good Christmas Day nap. Woo! All right, now, does your family open presents on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
Yes.
76% say they prefer Christmas Day openings, whereas 24%, we're a Christmas Eve family. Always have been. I don't know how to explain it. I grew up with that tradition. We opened our presents from each other on Christmas Eve. Santa Claus came Christmas Day. That's the way it was, you know, for many, many moons.
So I grew up as an only child. And so my growing up, it was just easy for the family. There was no logistical problem, right? There was one kid to worry about. And so, you know, grandparents. And so it was always, you know, Christmas morning. But as I got beyond the bounds of being an only child, realizing sometimes they're just logistic problems and you just got to you gotta do it when you can.
Yes. We're seeing that this year as we have, you know, grandkids coming in from Michigan the day after Christmas. We got some in one city coming down, you know, that we're actually opening up presents a few days after Christmas now at this point. Last question, perhaps the most pressing question of all in the entire survey on the Instagram and Right Side Twitter pages. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie or is it not? Your thoughts on this?
I'd never thought about it as a Christmas movie until it kind of became a thing that everybody talked about it being a Christmas movie.
So is it now or is it not? Commit one way or the other.
No, I don't think so.
48% say no. 52% say yes. I think it's a Christmas movie. I think it is. He even says ho, ho, ho at one point.
Well, so Brian from Huntsville, I just happened to read his text that Christ is about redemption. Die Hard, Bruce Willis, and the police officer that accidentally shot a child were given second chances. Yes, it is. So
wow. I was just going to say, because he said, you know, now I have a gun, ho, ho, ho.
that's a pretty solid argument, Brian.
Brian's got it going on. Speaking of which, Ryan from Hazel Green says, my favorite Christmas memory is from the late 90s. My dad made us watch A Christmas Story, and I didn't know why. The next morning, my last present was a BB gun. Now this Christmas, my son will get his first BB gun, and yes, I'll make him watch A Christmas Story. Our family tradition is going to eat Chinese for lunch. Wow. He says, I guess we're just a Christmas Story family. Merry Christmas, Phil and fellow ruffians. Ryan, thanks for that, man. That's awesome. That's good stuff. By the way, Butters and I are sitting here eating Christmas cookies now in the studio. It's just good. Allie from Athens says, 2004, singing Oh Holy Night on guitar with a Joe from the Fighting 69th and a chef. We sang to the soldiers in Uday's Falcon Palace and then threw a Christmas party for the Iraqi Special Forces. A blessed time indeed. That's a good memory, Allie. That's a good memory.
Yeah.
So were you deployed on Christmas at all, Butters?
Multiple times.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep. Like I said, so the first one was Japan and then Afghanistan. Staying up till much later than I should have, waiting on the CNO to come in and visit us. The Chief of Naval Operations was supposed to stop into Bagram. And we were, you know, big party, the squadron, everybody standing around. And I was on the flight schedule for first go next day, which was like a sunrise takeoff. Like, we need to go to bed. And we're all sitting there going, no, the CNO, the Admiral's coming. Like, eventually we're like, wait, okay, well, wake us up if he really, you know. He showed up an hour and a half after we left. But, yeah, so I missed the CNO because I had to fly a mission the next day. On Christmas Day.
If you got to miss the CNO, that's the reason right there.
Yeah, I figured the Admiral would be cool with it. So
yeah, he's probably going to be like, game on. Do what you got to do.
Yeah, and then Qatar as a reservist a year over there. Always a tough time, but always it's kind of a, you know, it's a special time to be with your brothers and sisters and
yeah.
You know, arms and, you know, and to also see the outpouring. I mean, the care packages, the piles of candy, the stuff that just shows up and you're like, wow.
Family readiness groups back home sending stuff.
Random schools, you know, kids. I mean, it was awesome.
It is awesome. So I was blessed with both my wartime deployments. I was actually home for Christmas. I actually got home from both right around the end of November, both times. It just worked out that way. But my second deployment going to Iraq in 04, I was actually mobbing out in December of 03. And so we're at Fort Bragg. And yeah, we got a pass to come home. But two things happened. I take it back. I think we were actually, at this particular point, we were mobbing out. We might have been in some pre-training. Anyway, doesn't matter. But the reality is I was in a mess hall because it was in December of 03 when they caught Saddam. They found him in a hole. And I was in a mess hall full of troops, and a large screen TV was on, and somebody yelled, "At ease, at ease!" And we realized there was a big message about to happen. And I've forgotten who it was that came out and said it, but he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we got him." And you talk about being in the right place to get that news.
Wow.
It went crazy. The room went crazy. We're going to war within a matter of a few weeks after that. And we just watched Saddam Hussein getting caught and the announcement came out. And I was in the room when they announced it. But then, so the next day in training, I blew out my knee. And I was supposed to deploy within a matter of a couple weeks. But I blew out my knee the day before Christmas pass. So I got it assessed. And they said, "You may have a problem here." And I said, "Okay, well, I'll take care of it with my civilian doc." Well, they let me take care of my civilian doc. So I didn't tell anybody. I went home for Christmas. I had my ACL repaired, and I didn't tell anybody. I just put a brace on under my uniform because my team was not going without me. And I went back and just pretended to walk straight when I couldn't until it got better on my own. And so I had the surgery and reported for duty like 2 days later and headed overseas. But
wow,
by God.
Well, yeah. Now
Christmas surgeries.
I'm always this time of year. I'm very sensitive to all the guys, no matter where they are in the world, you know. It can be a tough time being without family and being so far, and the family members, you know. And I think about the, you know, particularly the last 20 years of war, the families that are left behind.
Yeah.
You know, that they're never coming back. So,
well, appreciate your service, brother. Couple more text messages before the break. Let's see here. Brian from Huntsville, you already read that one. That was good. John C. from Madison. In 1979, my parents gave me and my sister a $50 bill. Dummy me, I lost it when we were throwing away all the wrapping paper. But fortunately, my best friend found it in the trash, and I was able to get it back. And I think $50 bill now would be $150 in value. That's a good memory. Can you imagine thinking you'd lost, in 1979, lost a $50 bill as a kid? That'd be heartbreaking. Rita from Scottsboro says, my brother decided to trap Santa in our fireplace one year. I was about 4 years old. I was crying because we wouldn't get anything then. My dad watched as my brother put string from side to side, and I was crying. My dad kept watching. He picked me up. He took me off to get a cookie and make it better. And the next morning, my brother stood there with disbelief on his face as the string was laying all over the floor, burnt in a couple of places. And my eyes were huge because Santa had come after all. My dad looked at my brother and said, did you forget that Santa smokes a pipe? Everyone had presents except my brother.
Nice. Well played, Dad.
Dad knew what he was doing the whole time. He was cooking up that plan, bro. I tell you what, man, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back and read some more of these. Send us your Christmas memories. Send us if you got somebody out there that you want to you know, to mention because they're gone on a Christmas morning serving in the military somewhere, we'll read it out. But yeah, it is Christmas, and this is Right Side Radio, and we'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Rightside Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just making common sense like a superpower. And it is Christmas, and I am glad of it. So I got a few more text messages. Before I do that, though, I got to tell you, Southern Immediate Care. So I was talking to the owner the other day, and they have added another location. I mean, they are spreading out like wildfire. So Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of our listening area. They're in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, and then they've got six locations around the Birmingham area. And I'm hearing there's more coming. Southern Immediate Care, open 7 days a week, y'all. And they'll see all ages, like pediatric to geriatric, I like to say. And they're open on Saturdays. Can you imagine? I mean, you wake up on a Saturday morning, somebody's got a fever. What do you do? Wait till Monday? No. Head on down to Southern Immediate Care. In their locations, you can get your shots, your x-rays, all right there on spot. And listen, this is who I use personally. And I say that with all sincerity, and I do not say that because they advertise. In fact, I was already using them, was so pleased and impressed that I asked, would they consider advertising? Because I'd be proud to have them for a sponsor. And they said, yeah. But then when you consider the chain is actually owned by a Rightside ruffian, that's pretty cool. But yeah, Southern Immediate Care, every time I've walked in the front door, friendly, courteous, clean, professional, get you in, get you out. But yeah, check them out. Find the location nearest to you. If you need some care, they will take care of you. And do me a favor, when you're filling out your forms, tell them you heard about it on Rightside Radio. Thank you very much for that. Got some great text messages. Let's see what we got here. Danny from Penhook says, I just heard your third dipper, and now my texture decided to reboot. Why does it do this to me? Okay, we're rebooting, and we're rebooting. And Danny, I'll come back to your text momentarily. I apologize.
You want me to read it?
No, I got it now.
All right.
It just says, Danny from Penhook says, I just heard your third dipper. I just finished celebrating Christmas with my parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles, and several old friends. Brought back a lot of great memories. The sad part is I just left the cemetery. Mm. He says, please spend time with the people who you love the most while you still can. Merry Christmas. Wow, Danny. Thank you for that. Blessings on you. Francisco from Huntsville says, question, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? So I don't know. I can't tell what he's doing here. Is he answering the question or is he asking me?
I'm not sure.
I think he meant to say Phil. He said Paul. He's asking me, do I believe it is? And I say, yes, it is. I say it's a Christmas movie. Butter says he's not sure that it is. I say that it is. JT Lacey Springs says, Christmas morning, 1975 in a duck blind. It's 5 degrees and a 15-mile-per-hour north wind. That was the last time I went duck hunting. That just struck me. It's just right. Oh, man. Yeah, but it was a self-inflicted wound, JT. So, Raven from Russellville says, Colonel, I want to wish you and Butters, the Rightside family, and all our service members a Merry Christmas and a blessed and prosperous new year from an old 18 Bravo. Most respectful salute rendered, Raven. Raven, we appreciate you, man, as always. I imagine that you, knowing the kind of things you did in your career as an 18B, you probably had a few holidays or birthdays away from the house. So, thank you, brother. Appreciate you very much. John from Huntsville, he's given the grades, and he's also answering some questions. He says, Phil, ham and rib roast is the way to go for Christmas. When it comes to Christmas shopping, I got two words for you, gift card. Also, Die Hard is definitely, without a doubt, not a Christmas movie. I mean, come on, Phil. It's got the word die in it. Christmas is not about death. It's about life. It's about the birth of Jesus. Well, that's a cogent argument on his part, I will admit. He also then follows up by saying... Actually, he said it again. He sent me the same stuff twice. Okay, I got your points there. But then the grades. He says, Butters and Phil both get an A triple plus today, but only because they correctly answered my real or fake Christmas tree question. Congratulations, you are co-champions, and I wish both of you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
Outstanding. Thanks, John. And then Lee from Huntsville has checked in. Lee from Huntsville says, I'd like to say Merry Christmas to my right side, folks. I've been blessed with new friends and wonderful opportunities. Phil Butters, Boomer, and McQueen, have a blessed Christmas and a Happy New Year. We love you, Lee from Huntsville.
Merry Christmas, Lee.
That's right. Thank you for being a part of our team. More to come. So, yeah, listen, we got plenty on tap. All right, this is the Christmas weekend, and it is... It is incumbent upon me to make sure that I point out that I believe that Jesus is the reason for the season. Absolutely. I mean, it's so easy to get caught up in the commercialism. It's so easy to get caught up in the even the wondrous moments and the meals and the decorations and all the things we do. But in the course of doing so, I pray that each one of us has an opportunity to reflect on the fact that this is a season in which we look at the wonder of a God who loves us so much that he would give his only son and he would send him here. I'll be honest with you. I am the father of a son. I wouldn't give him for a one of you. And I love all of you, but I wouldn't give him for a one of you. But he did. God did. And so I challenge you, think through that. Ponder it. Find a moment. Do something somewhere where you pause for a second, maybe even read the Christmas story to the kids or the grandkids. Make sure that they remember, much like, you know, we used to see quite often on the Peanuts Christmas special when Linus would stand on the stage and quote the passage from Luke about the shepherds by night hearing from the angels. And I pray that that would be a thing that would just be real to you, that would be legitimately a blessing, and that it would wash over you in such a way that you can't deny it. You can't get away from it. You can give the presents and you can have the wrapping paper all over the floor, but somewhere in there, there's still the fact that Jesus is the reason for the season. He came, he walked among us. We're told in his word that in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And the one translation says, and the word dwelt among us. I think it's the Message translation that even says, he moved into our neighborhood. Well, that's where it is. He became a man so he could identify, so that he could literally say, I've been there, I've done that, I felt that way, I was betrayed, I know what it feels like. And nobody can ever say, you don't get it, God, you don't understand me. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I've been there. So I will just end by saying this, Psalm 3:3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I pray that over each one of you. I hope you have a blessed Christmas, and I look forward to being with you coming up next week. We'll see you then.
Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.